Let's read this scripture that we have been using for our teaching here from the book of Joshua. I believe we all know we have been studying quite a bit from this portion on Saturdays. That's one of our Bible classes, talking about the matter of following the Lord fully. I just want to read it again because it's very important. We are going to use that one to pray once again. And if anybody listening to this, let's just try and get the series we preach titled Where Life Begins. The book of Joshua chapter 14. Because we have read this several times, I will jump here and there. From verse 6, it says, "And the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, said to him, 'You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea.'" The story is in Numbers 13 and 14. He said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart." He said in verse 8, "I followed the Lord fully." You know, he said, because of that, in verse 9, "Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord fully.'" That's verse 9. He says, "Because you have followed the Lord fully." We'll see it again. And then if you go on, it describes the fact that that was 45 years ago. Now he's 85 years old in verse 10. He said in verse 11, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in." Now, he now asks Joshua to fulfill the promise that Moses made. So in verse 13, Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully. I've been laying this emphasis on verse 15. "Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for there was a man Arba, and he was the greatest man amongst the Anakim." The Anakim stood for the giants. All right? He said, "Then the Lord had rest from war." All right, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. All right, so now this is the scripture we have been reading on Saturdays during our Bible classes. And I want to just lay some emphasis from it again. The expression I brought out from there again and again is our issue of following the Lord fully. Following the Lord fully. And we have emphasized that most Christians these days, they want to follow God only by His promises. But that does not bring the promises of God to manifestation. We have discussed again and again that the fact that God promised something does not mean it must come to pass. There are times people have called people false prophets. I remember when Tunde Bakare made his prophecy that time, and people said because it didn't come to pass like he said, it means he's a false prophet. And I remember the president then said that. But again, that's a matter of ignorance. If you know the way the prophetic office works, it's possible for a prophet to say something and it does not come to pass because there are other mitigating factors, all right? And what do we mean by that? He said the words preached did not profit them, not because Moses was a lying prophet, but because it was not mixed with faith in the hearts of those who heard it. Do you get my point? So, you see that if a man, sometimes a word comes forth, it is not mixed with the proper ingredients in the heart of the recipient, then the word does not manifest. It is not because the prophet is false. And of course, we know the story of Jonah. When Jonah went and preached, what he feared came upon him. That is, he was afraid that he would preach and God would not fulfill the threat that he was making. 40 days hence, and Nineveh would be destroyed. 41 days came, and Nineveh was not destroyed. It wasn't because Jonah did not hear God, but it was because the people did things that God did not even allow Jonah to give as a condition. The king called everybody. They went into sackcloth and ashes. In repentance, they averted the judgment that was determined. And you know that Daniel preached that message to Nebuchadnezzar too, that even though Nebuchadnezzar saw the judgment that was about to befall him, Daniel gave him some prescriptions by which he could suspend the day of judgment. I'm just saying all of this to let us know that the word of God, sometimes it comes forth, and these are the things that may prevent its manifestation. So when people try to follow God only by his promises, what they find is that the promises don't work. You cannot exercise yourself by force, you know, steal your heart and become stubborn and call it faith. No. For you to receive the blessings of God, you must follow God fully. That's what I've been saying. We used that as our prayer last time also. I want to continue that today. We must follow God fully. It is so important that you work on yourself so that you follow him in his entirety. The problem, in fact, I've discovered that what God is trying to do in our lives is to convert us all to people who follow God fully. This is, by the way, I'm not supposed to be teaching. I want us to pray, all right? And the prayer is going to be on this as I'm going over this also. But I just want to say this to us again. As a God always prepares people for the promises, all right, that he wants to release into their lives. That was the reason why it took him 25 years to bring Isaac to Abraham. It's not because it took God 25 years to finally manufacture Isaac. No. Isaac could have been manufactured. I hope you don't mind the word manufacture. It could have been manufactured in an instant. But if God gave Isaac to Abraham 2 years after he promised, he would have lost Isaac a few years after he would come. That's just the way it works. If he gave Abraham Isaac, let's say 20 years before then, Abraham would have failed the test of releasing Isaac for God in the time that God asked for Isaac. So God knew that. He knew his heart. So he was working on him so that through many testings and trials and teachings and instructions and manifestations of the power of God, Abraham got to a point that God said, if we give this man Isaac now, he will gladly give us back Isaac. So he gave him Isaac. Before then, he continued to train him in how to give up his son. When Isaac was growing up, he didn't stop working on Abraham, because it was crucial to God that Abraham gave up Isaac. It was crucial to God. To the plan of God for the generations of the earth, it was crucial. So he trained him in giving up his son by first instructing him to let Ishmael go. And he saw how he kept Ishmael. Those were the things that God used to train Abraham so that he was able to receive Isaac and give up Isaac when the time came. Are you getting my point? So God trains people. So what he's doing is training all of us so that we'll be able to receive his promises. Right? Like, you know, I've been saying it again and again, we're not here just to pray. We're here to what? Learn and then to begin. That's what? To pray. So this, let me, for the first time, encourage you to get the CDs. Not just so that you own it, but so that you will remember what we learned. Do you get my point? And what you began to do. It's that which you began to do and then you continue to do that brings you to the time of God's fulfillment. That's just the way it works, all right? Not that which you did once and you forgot, all right? So, I said it's important that we pray all the time. Remember our 100-fold blessing CD that I encourage everybody to get? It's important we pray all the time that our heart is brought to the place where we can receive God's promise. It's important we pray that God send me your word. You know, last time we were praying for understanding. You know, the righteousness of thy testimonies, all right, it's everlasting. He said, give me understanding and I shall live. That is not just to have deliverance in the time of affliction, but it's to have what? Understanding. There is no affliction, listen to me, and write it down so that you don't forget it. There is no affliction you will go through in life that does not have a lesson from God you must learn. Sometimes that's the problem with Christians. We don't balance things well. When we, under the word of faith, we so focused on the devil, so that if you sneeze, you rebuke the devil. All right? If your car stops on the road, you rebuke the devil. Anything that went wrong, you focused on the devil. We hardly ever remembered, all right, to pray that prayer of David, which says that the righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Before then, the man was in affliction and he was in troubles. Listen, if you have problems, you rebuke the devil, it does not go. Relax, wait. And pray that prayer. Give me understanding and what? I shall live. We've been explaining the meaning of the word live, all right, here again and again. To live doesn't mean that I won't die now, live. No. It means I will come out of affliction. If I was in trouble, the trouble will cease. That's what it means to live. If I was confused, I will suddenly have direction. That's what it means to live. And he's saying, you will not have direction except I give you understanding. In the time of trouble, Solomon said, consider. That's what he said. He said, in the time of affliction, what do? You consider. You know, I was reading Jack Hayford yesterday, and I was talking about the practice of the, we're talking about some practices, how to live the spirit-formed life. So one of the things he said was talking about practicing solitude. That a time came, things were just going wrong here and there with him. You know, things were just going wrong. And he had pressures, he had schedules to meet. But in the midst of it, he told his wife, I need to go on a short break. And his wife said, yes. I was just thinking the same thing this morning. So he left home for just a few days so he could settle down and hear God again. Are you getting my point? That is, in the midst of every trouble, there is a word to hear. That's what we prayed about, if you remember, last Tuesday. That in the, he said, I've been afflicted, I'm having trouble. So David prayed, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. He said, give me understanding and I shall live. Let me say it again. There is a word to hear in the midst of every affliction. It's important. There are different things. Sometimes the word of correction. Sometimes just the word concerning the name of God. Because if you, sometimes what God is saying is, identify my name, call me by that, my name, and you'll come out of that affliction. And without a prayerful attitude, you know, Jesus said that you said the scriptures, thinking that in them you have life. But those scriptures only testify of me. You should have come to me. What does that tell us, believers? We don't just use, you know, we say we are warders, just read the scripture and find out what is there. No. Look, listen, the scripture is full. You can read one portion 20 times, you won't know what it's saying. But then you go into the midst of an affliction and you pray a prayer, you come back to that same scripture to be talking to you in another language that you never knew was there before. That's why, that's what prayer does for believers. It's not about struggle. I said it to us several times. What we are supposed to do is to pray. Simple. What is the prayer? And know this book of Psalms is full of those prayers. David said it simply, the righteousness of thy testimony. I've talked about testimony. Sometimes God gives a specific instruction, a specific commandment concerning what to do, which is even impossible to pass on to somebody else. All right? But that is the key to your own deliverance. And once you have learned it, you hold on to it, you have stepped up to another level. If you were here then, when we study the book of Genesis, I explained something about Abraham, that every time you see that Abraham would build an altar after he has had an experience with God, those are the things that he was tying down and tying together to become the Abraham, the father of faith that we know. The man was not born full of faith. He was trained in faith. We explained it then. If you are not here, listen to the series, the book of Genesis. Our exegesis is there in the book of Genesis. Abraham was trained in faith. He was not born full of faith. He just had a heart that loved God, and God saw that and began, oh God, and that's what God is looking for. Hearts that love him so that he can train them in faith. Nobody is born full of faith. Nobody has big faith inside his heart naturally. Each one of us must be trained. Are you getting my point? Yes. So I was saying that what we do is to pray at all times. That's how you pray your way into faith. People say you can't pray your way into faith. You study the scriptures into faith. You can't read your Bible into faith also. You can't. You have to use both of them. Are you getting my point? It's as God gives you understanding, all right, that you are trained in the walk with God, that you are trained in faith. So what am I saying? What God is trying to do is to bring our hearts to the place where we fully, and totally follow him. And every day, our prayers must be addressed in that direction. So that you know that what you are doing, because like I said to us before, that the degree to which, as an example, Solomon and David failed, all right, and other kings in Israel, was the degree to which they did not obey the instructions given for kings. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that's it. That's it. That's it. The failure of every king in Israel is tied to their negligence concerning the instructions, the testimonies specifically written for kings in Israel. Yeah. Do you follow? In the same manner, the degree of failure we will all experience as believers in life is tied purely to the degree to which we don't fully follow the Lord. And if you know that, therefore, it becomes a quest of your heart. Every day you pray, God, whatever is inside me that will not allow me follow you, please kill it. Yeah, it's important. So when your engine catches fire, don't be angry. These are the things we are talking about. It's not devil all the time. When it starts fire, shout, devil, get out, get out. If he finishes burning, Father, I give you thanks in the name of Jesus. I worship you. I worship you. Now I understand that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. What I'm telling you happened to me before. God just said, this guy, give me that bag, one thief. Open the car, removed it. When I finished, I said, Father, we worship you. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. That's how I learned the scripture. Do you get my point? That's why Christians can be full of thanksgiving. He said, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding. And life comes out of every situation that I may find myself in. Are you getting my point? So that's it. So what am I saying? I'm emphasizing. We are praying again today so that we will follow the Lord fully. Last time we spoke extensively about understanding. Can you remember that? We read from the book of Ephesians chapter 1. He said that you pray that the Lord will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That was our emphasis last time. But today, I want to read one more scripture, and then we'll be able to get into what we want to discuss. The book of James, quickly. James chapter 3. Now, from verse 2, it says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bit into horses' mouths so that they may obey us, we direct their entire body as well. That is, if we can control the mouths of the horse, we direct the entire body. He said, the same principle applies with sheep. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, so they are still directed by a very small rudder, whatever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. What it means by it boasts of great things doesn't mean the tongue goes around bragging. What it means is that the tongue has accomplished great things. It can boast of what it has accomplished. Are you getting the point? He said, behold, how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. All right? What he was saying, in effect, is that the direction your life will go, all right? The direction your body will go is the tone that is set by your tongue. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you tell your heart, if you tell yourself by speaking, all right, by meditating, that's the meaning of meditation. You utter, you mutter. Is what you tell yourself that your body begins to respond to. We're talking about following God fully. What we're going to do today is to rise and begin to instruct ourselves. He said, my soul, bless the Lord. You know, I've been saying it before. You can speak to yourself. It's as if you can come around and give instruction to that body of yours. You can, as if you can come around, split yourself into two. One guy becomes the teacher, and the main man becomes the listener. You turn around and speak to yourself that you will follow God at all times. You will follow him fully. In the midst of adversity, you will follow the Lord. In the midst of troubles, you will follow the Lord. You will follow him by his precepts. You will follow him by his commandments. You will follow the testimonies, and you will follow him by his promises. You speak to your body every time, even when there is no pressure concerning what to follow or what not to follow. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. You know, I like the way Daniel and co did it. As we're arriving in Babylon, they first spoke to themselves. I'm putting my own words now. And said, boys, this is how we are going to do it. And listen, the words that you speak now in the time of peace is the word that carries you in the time of trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is the words that you speak when everything is at peace that carries you in the time of trouble. Because in the time of trouble, you cannot even arrange to speak proper words again. It's called my heart being overwhelmed. That's how David described it. A man's heart can be so overwhelmed, he does not even know what to say, how to reason. It's when you have been given instructions in the time of peace. You know, we have spiritual economic empowerment and development strategy seminar. All right? If you are planning to do business, listen to the CDs and use those things to instruct yourself. It's not just to learn now. When you are finished learning, you turn around and say, oh boy, businessman, multi-millionaire, you're talking to yourself. Oh, this is how you will do business. You will do this, you will not do this. You will do this, you will not do this. You say those things when you are not planning to lose money. You get my point? When your decisions are not going to cost you anything. Here you are, no money, nothing, no business, you are just planning. You speak those words when one decision is not going to decide whether you will make 10 million or lose 15 million. It's possible that you will get to that point. But the day you get to that point, it is what you said before you got there that will decide which direction you will go. In the same manner, a believer is going to go into political office. See, it's not by desire, it's by instruction. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, we are changing, amen? There are Nigerians that are not corrupt. There was a time Elijah looked and said, only me remain. God said, shh, let me show you the 7,000 that I have kept. You know that kind of thing. So I know there are a lot of Nigerians that are not corrupt. Amen? Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let me give you another prophetic word. Very soon, shortly, God will start locating such people in strategic places where they will be the engineers and the directors of development for this country in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to went into that because, you see, a lot of people who think they are trying, when they get into positions, they will see the pressures that men who want to try are facing. Do you get my point? You will, have they bribed you with $15 million before? That is when you know whether you are strong. You can be shortened. How can they be? These people are wicked. How can a judge, you know, a whole justice of the appeal court of Supreme Court? Wait now. When they draw $15 million in front of you, you first go and pray. Balaam, Balaam, who knew God, knew the voice of God, no doubting. They said so. Balaam, he said, come and curse them for us. He went inside. About God said, Balaam, no go. He said, you know me now. Why should I go? If he said, don't go, I won't go. He came and said, boys, the Lord said, no go. Okay. They went and told the Balak. Balak said, Balak knew this thing. The guy was from Nigeria. He just said, double the amount. I think Balak's name would have been James Ibori or something like that. I just said, double the amount. When they came back, when Balaam saw it, he said, ye, all of this just to come and do small prophesying. Ah. I said, okay, I'm coming. But the Lord will understand that these are the tithes and offerings that we need to run the ministry. Hallelujah. Such offerings will preach the gospel. Now Balaam turned around, said, go pray again. God said, Balaam, you won't go. I said, oh God, the offering is not bad. He said, okay, you can go. That's what happened. God, like, he wants to go. I'm not talking about Balaam now. What I'm talking about really is the fact that when they bribe you with $15 million in cash, there's $15 million in the bank that you have not seen. It's possible it's a lie. This is one that's cash. Cash. Given to you, cash. Bro, I hope you prayed before that time. If you phone me, I will tell you to take it because you want to take it. I will do you like God, you know, did Balaam. After that, I will send an angel to go and remove your teeth. He said, ah, Pastor, I'm looking at the money right now. $15 million. He said, what? They said we should just rule that it is Onanefe that was convicted, not Onanefe. You know? It is Onanefe, not Onanefe. You know? In there are two, you know, can be Evans instead of Evan. You know that kind of thing? So just put the S or remove the S. $15 million. Hey! My brother, that's what is called temptation. You have not been tempted. But this is what I'm making. That's not the time you must start praying. Lord, what do you have to say about this money? No. The Lord spoke 22nd of February. 5 years before you got to that position. In which he taught you how Christians are supposed to behave in political office. And before you took the oath of office, he said, speak to yourself that these are the things I will not do. Are you getting my point? When you instruct yourself before then, even if you wanted to take, the taking will not accept. I don't know. I hope that English makes sense to you, Sha. I just invented that expression. It doesn't exist. You will try to take it. The taking will say, lie. You are not going to take me, using me to take anything this time around. We aren't taking. Why? Because you spoke with your tongue, you controlled your body before you entered into political office. That's why Christians go there and go and misbehave. Say, don't worry me, I cannot get a problem. Wait. The people, they know how to do it. They believe that, you know, that's one thing about politicians, especially Nigerian politicians, they believe that every man has a price. Before you get there, you tell yourself, I have only one price. It is called the pleasure of God. Do you understand? That is that which pleases God. You will speak to yourself. If you look, politicians don't only bribe, they threaten. Bribery is one thing that is like, take $10 million. There's one, if you don't take it, we shoot your wife. Those guys are criminals. Listen, you are going to that office. Pray. Don't pray mercy prayers. All this your merciful prayer is for when you're at home. You want to enter politics, you must pray wicked prayers. God, kill the child and
the wife and the children of anybody that threatens me. Let them know that I'm a dangerous man. I'm telling you, I'm not joking about that. Tell them that fire will burn them, their parents, their children. No, you think I'm wicked? Wait. Because if you threaten me like that, I will shoot you physically. We'll settle that one later. God will be on my side. You give me $10 million, I'll not take. Nothing says you will shoot my wife. I will break your head there, bite you, suck your blood. And I know God is on my side, I'm doing it too. And I don't care if you are the sitting president. Yeah. God forgive me. No, it gets on kind areas. So when you're looking at David, when David said, let their children be motherless and their father be, no, let them be. It's not his fault. When they chase you around, you will pray some prayers. Sit down there. It's not the man's fault. When they chase you from cave to cave, when everybody gang up against only you, you will find out why God said, okay, boy, it has reached the point in which the mercy process is for those who fear the Lord. You know, the mercy of God are bound upon those who fear him. Say, oh boy, it is judgment process on this corner. And dig out wicked weapons of war. Very soon, you know your talk. They will tell you, that guy, leave that guy. Your mother will just die. That's what they will start. That will be the name. Ah, say, there's one pastor I know. They used to call him Kilangu. He was a pastor, Winner's Chapel in the north. He doesn't have time for all this prayer. If you attack his church, he will pray all of you to death. You'll be following that like this, one after the other. You don't get time for God have mercy on them. They say, for what? They just burnt my pulpit. What are you doing with mercy? They are threatening my life. Anyway, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. There's a reason why David prayed those wicked prayers. Anyway, let me sit on my own. So you see, all those wicked things that people threaten, all right? When they begin it, all right, your heart is no longer settled. That's what I'm saying. You understand? Your heart is no longer settled. At that, before then, is when you will have spoken to yourself. Listen, oh God, I'm digressing. Please, I hope you learn one or two things. Eh? You know, when people want to enter into dangerous zones, they go to a shrine, they go and see wicked people. Some go and see pastors, whatever. Let me tell you, Christians, you need to go to your own shrine. You need to drink blood. Amen? Amen. Fraternity of Christ. Can you remember when we were doing? Yes. In fact, you should look for one small room in your house and put red cloth in front of it. Used to hang a Bible as a symbolic. No, it's symbolic. So your children will know that that is daddy's shrine. Inside it, you have one fat Bible, a small music player, a small place to kneel down. Are you getting my point? So what does he say? That is daddy's shrine. What does he do there? That's where he slaughters his enemies. And you enter the place, leave the door open, let them know what you are doing. I'm serious. Look, before, as they are going to their own shrines, go to you. And you know the one thing I like about being a believer? You are a priest of God. Amen? You can offer sacrifices. If you kneel down one night, put up two hands, and give thanks to the Lord, who is your defense, your fortress, your high tower. All those who spend that day trying to assail you. Heart failure. Are you getting my point? Kidney failure. Liver failure. Are you getting what I'm saying? Confusion in their camp. They start shooting one another. Don't pray against the shooting of one another. That's the only thing God can do. As they are doing that, I know what I'm saying. We are not there to go and fight human beings. You know, I told you our own sacrifices is what? Praises. You offer praises to God, the worship of God. That's our own sacrifices. And our own weapons are words. You take a Bible, you don't have to reason. Just take a Bible and read it out. Our meditations are the instructions of God. It's what the Bible says. If they tell you that people are ganging up, they don't mind them. Why did the hidden rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Read it 10 times until you can recite it all head. We must go to a shrine. Amen? Amen? That's our own shrine. That is your shrine.
You also have to shed your own blood. You know how you do it? You dedicate that only God is a person that you will follow. It's a covenant. You kneel down there and swear an allegiance to God again and again. Every day, you swear an allegiance to God, the God of heaven, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, that's the most powerful, that's the most potent, that's the most of all shrines. Amen? And let me tell you the truth, they can't do you anything. The only thing they will try. Eh? This is what they will try, temptation. You get my... Look, listen. Look. Oh, we'll go back to where I do. But spiritual things are real. Spiritual things are what? They are real. When men... men who do such... They will know people who are too powerful. One day, my wife told me something that somebody was asking her for counsel. Told her, you know. By the time she finished, I said, I can't give you too many gist. I said, tell that woman they're about to kill her. If she falls for that, they have tried. They could not. Now, they are giving her temptation, all right? So that she will fall for the temptation, break open the hedge that God has placed around her, and then she's going to die. My wife said, yeah. Either she ran down to go and tell the woman or she called her on the phone. When I was just narrating the gist to one of my colleagues in the office, also a Bible teacher. Before I finished, I just brought the gist up to a point. He just said, that man is in the court. He wants to kill that woman. He has tried. He did not succeed. I said, those were the very words I told my wife. So they know. What they start using is temptation. They have only two temptations. They not pass two of them. It's not what you, if they give you food, eat it. The worst that will happen to you is that you have small diarrhea. You know why? Because God wants you to poo-poo the thing out faster. Not because the thing is dangerous. Eat. They say that they have used double jars inside the food. Eat it for the demonstration of the uselessness of the jars. Nothing will happen to you. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. So it's not food. The things that they use to tempt believers, is just two things. One, money, entering deal, sharing illegal money. That's one. Number two, women. Usually when it comes to men, that is all. That is all. You don't fall for those two things, they can't do anything. When Balaam tried to kill to cause the children of Israel, the Bible says, you know, one of the reasons why God was angry with Balaam was that, you won't read it if it's when you read that in Revelation, and I think and one of the apostles was speaking, I've forgotten which very one now. He was talking about the error of Balaam. All right? What he did was that he taught Balak what to do to bring judgment upon Israel. That's why God killed Balaam. I get what I'm saying? That's what he did. To Balak. These people are too powerful. There's nothing you can do to them. So Balak said, what am I going to do? He said, unless you can persuade God to turn against them. So, which sacrifice do we offer to God? He said, this one does not accept sacrifices. The people must offend. So Balak gathered all the Midianite babes. Oh yeah? Sexiest clothes you can find. Where am I? Into the camp. And you know the swagbes and the dokwemus with the inside there amongst the Jews. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know this was a battle for their lives. They thought it was about, hey. They whistle. All right. They didn't know it was a battle for their lives. You know, sometimes I look at men. I said, stop chasing witches that are in the villages. Real witches are not in villages. They are on campuses. They are in your offices. They wear nice, fine clothes. Spray fantastic perfume. Their hairdo is made in heaven. They look nice. They don't sacrifice chicken. Amen? They don't. But they are real Jezebels. I'm telling you. That's what Balaam did for Balak. He taught Balak, this is how you get them. And God, of course, it worked. It worked.
It worked, except that it didn't work well. It just cost them about 23,000 people. Phinehas took a sword, killed a man. At the end of the day, the whole plague ended. So Balak still lost out. But God was angry with Balaam because of that. It's a lesson for everybody. That's the devil only has the power to tempt. You don't fall for his temptations. He can't do nothing. I don't care the shrine they gather, this political arena. Oh, Christians, we have to do this thing. We have to, you know. In fact, I have to go and buy a robe as chief priest. Real robe. So when I see serious political Christians that I know before, not people who came to look for prayer. You know, there are people who come to look for prayer. Those kind of people, yeah, they will get judgment. I mean, if you come and meet me now that you are doing politics, good. What me and you, we wear robe. We do our incantations. We'll film it. Let them see the kind of incantation we are doing. Yes. What do I mean? Forget them. There's nothing. Look, we have more power than they have. We do. Christians are just not taught, so they are afraid. They are not taught, so they are afraid. They say, they can't kill you. And please, I've been telling you, when you read that arena, don't pray nice prayers unless the person is your friend. One prayer, you write it on your wall in front of your gate. Lord, contend with them that contend with me. If you are in PDP, before the meeting, let us pray. Lord, we are your servants according to the ordinance of leadership. Therefore, anyone that will do your will that's present here, contend with those who will contend with them in the name of Jesus Christ. The amen will not be loud. I'm telling you, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I beg, I have digressed plenty. Let us go into our main issue. Amen? We're talking about James. So James said, we speak, that's how I said. We speak with our tongues, all right? We give ourselves instructions before we get into the area where we have pressure. And that's what carries us in the time of pressure. Do you get my point? So, what's our prayer point for this season? It's about following God fully. So let's rise to our feet. We want to speak to ourselves concerning following the Lord fully. As usual, first thing, let's just give the Lord thanks because of the power of his word that he has brought us to contact. Say, Father, we thank you. All we want to do today is just to speak to ourselves. Say, Father, I receive the unction this afternoon to declare boldly in your presence. Let's just give the Lord thanks for the word that he has been bringing to us. It's important. Say, Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding. Let me know your will. Let me know the words to speak in your presence. He said, draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools. Watch your steps, he said, when you're approaching the temple. So it's a very valid prayer. Say, Lord, give me understanding concerning the words to speak in your presence. It's important we follow God fully. So we want to pray that concerning our following him fully. We want to speak to our lives. So, Lord, give me the right words to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. First of all, let's start like this. I just feel like we should start through a series of words of repentance. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Say it loud, Father, in the name of Jesus. I repent of every way that I walk in. That is not pleasing to you. I repent of every way that I walk in that is not in accordance with your will. I repent of walking in the way of the world. I repent of walking in the way of the Philistines. You know, he said that they have become like soothsayers like the Philistines. So he said, Lord, I repent of soothsaying like Philistines. Let me just explain that briefly. You know what it means to soothsay like a Philistine? All right? He said, Lord, you have abandoned your people because they have been filled with influences from the east. They become soothsayers like Philistines. That is, they make predictions like those who don't believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's it. And, you know, I was telling my wife something. I said, I've showed you before, you know, I have four children. You all know them.
I told her yesterday, I said, my first son is a temptation to any parent, a Christian parent. You know why? The boy is incredibly smart. I know what I'm saying. He's 8 years old. They have taken 4 for him for common entrance. I said, this is how, you know, parents, Christian parents will make mistakes. This is a temptation. You will look at it and say, I know he's going to do well in life. I don't know what you get what I'm saying. It's called soothsaying like Philistines. Why? Because he's jumping classes, he's so smart, beats everybody in class. Suddenly you predict based upon that. Do you follow? That he's going to be successful in life. So I told my wife, I will never fall for that temptation. I said, you know what you are doing, oh boy? God is keeping you occupied until the appointed time. So if you like, you know, have fun beating everybody, not learning everything. You teach him one thing. I teach him a lot, all right? Because I'm already telling him the one day said that, look at stars. I showed him a constellation. I described the constellation of Orion for him. I know he'll never forget. So if you see him at the age of 9, brings you out at night and shows you Orion, you look at him, you know, you'll be bemused. Any word I use, I explain it to him. When you say trough, this is what the trough means as compared to a valley. I teach it because I know he won't forget. But as far as I'm concerned, you are just being occupied. It's called occupation. You understand my point? This is what you know, some people play, some people learn. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know that. You get my point? So I told him, I said, this is temptation. As a parent, you start looking and say, I know this boy will do well. You start plotting what he will become, what he will not become. I say, listen to me. Whatever you will become, it's not because you are smart, it's because of the prophetic utterances I'm bringing forth. You know why I told my wife it's a temptation? And this is a temptation in it. If you hold on to this apparent smartness, if his younger ones don't show that degree of smartness, you have condemned them to not doing well and you don't realize it. Because God says, hey, which double standard do you want to use? Are you going by faith or by what you can see? So you go to one and say, I know this one. Then now start praying about the rest. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will do it. God says, shut up, my friend. What happened to the first one? You are walking by arm of flesh. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what it means to soothsay like Philistines. You don't check him. I'm very smart. I will go far in life. You want to marry a husband? You see the guy, I know, see me, I don't get a problem with that. One, he's going to be very rich because he's very intelligent. And I know my children will be intelligent. You will born idiots as children. You won't. No, I'm telling you. I know what I'm telling you. That's what God does to children, to Christians. It's called soothsaying like what? Philistines. Then you condemn people. Say, that one, I know he's not going far. You say it about somebody else. You are soothsaying like what? A Philistine. You are making predictions based on what you can see. You don't do it for good. You don't do it for evil. You get my point? If you think it's good, you thank the Lord for it and you prophesy and you say, it's my prophetic words that will come to pass. If it doesn't look good, you thank God, you pray against it, but you still maintain prophecy that what you will become in life is based upon what the word of God says, which I have agreed with. And because I'm your father and I love the Lord, he said his seed will be mighty on the earth. And you are my seed, I condemn you to mighty on the earth. You understand what I'm saying? His seed, that is, I told you before, people say, go born Peking abroad. I said, listen, born my Peking for Malawi. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you. Born out for Bahrain in the midst of crisis. No? There's crisis in Bahrain now. Mm-hmm. Born out for America. Mm-hmm. And I thank the Lord they were born in Nigeria. Oh, well and good. What is determining what they will get to, where they will get to in life, is that he said his seed will be mighty on the earth. It is the might of the seed of the righteous one that's my issue. It is not where they were born. Please go to America. You will see poor people, crazy people. In the same, in America, crazy people. Most Nigerians who do well in America cooked up the doing well from Nigeria. Do you get what I'm saying? They got up from here and went to do well in America. So it's not where you born anything. As if you say, I must go and burn my picking abroad. Sorry, in case you're my friend, just know I was laughing at you behind your back. Yeah, you're wasting your money. Should I give you that money to preach the gospel? It's a waste of money. It's an absolute waste of money. I don't think it's a joke. When my wife was going to deliver the first time, her mother was telling her that, You want to go and visit your sister? Can you go? Because her other sister lives in the UK. So my wife looked at him, her mother said, okay, so when will I come back? After like 3 months, he said, 3 months? My husband won't see his child? Said, no, sorry, forget it. For her, it was supposed to be like an opportunity to trip. You understand that kind of thing? That's, God is my witness. For her, it was trip. Said, let me just go abroad too. Let me go and look. And once they said 3 months, I said, thank you. Don't worry. Nothing wrong with burning for Enugu and being here. It's good. And my mother-in-law said, you people self, your own things are always different. I said, yeah. So you two have learned it. My mother learned it like 10 years ago. You two have learned it now. Yeah, because I believe. I said, what is it? He said, you never can tell. Tell what? His seed will be mighty on the earth. That's all that concerns me. That's why I said, you have to repent of soothsaying like Philistines. You have predicted about your life according to what you can see. You have predicted about your friends, which is actually a sign of what you believe. Because sometimes what you are praying about is what you are wishing for, not what you believe. I don't know what I'm saying. When it's your own case, you'll be wishing. So you go to prayer with wish. Hey, Father, you will lift me up. Father, you know I sowed a dangerous seed on Sunday. I hope it does not damage your throne. It's very dangerous. All right, so... Then you look at your friend. He said, that guy, no. He can't, no. That time he should have nothing for him again. We warned him that time, but you see, he said that you start condemning him Philistine way. Do you get my point? Soothsaying. Because he doesn't have the things you think is necessary to do well in life. Then you now turn around and be praying. Look, I've told you all those prayers is, oh God, please. I'm sure you understand me now. That when God is judging whether you have faith or not, it's not that time, say, oh yeah, everybody, in the name of Jesus, confess that I have it. Then you say, Lord, I have it. He does not have it. Why doesn't he have it? You know, his father is not rich, but I have it. He said, you see, either you believe or you don't believe. If you believe, you will believe all around. If you find a man who says he believes also, you will join with him in faith and your faith will come out. You get what I'm saying? So that's what I mean when I say we are confessing the sin of soothsaying like Philistines. Let's go back there again. Say, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I repent of soothsaying like Philistines. I repent of judging by what my eyes can see. I repent of judging by what my ears hear. I repent of judging according to the ways of the world. I repent of every way in which I have made you too small in my eyes. Where I have leaned on the arm of flesh, I repent and I receive your forgiveness. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for your mercy because you have forgiven me. Lord, pour into me the spirit of faith. Listen, that prayer is very important too. Say, Lord, pour into me the spirit of faith. What is the spirit of faith? That which makes a man believe. Which makes a woman strong in the face of adversity. It's either God pours. You can't do it by yourself. So therefore, pray again. Say, Lord, pour into me the spirit of faith. I desire to walk in a manner pleasing to you. I will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Declare aloud, I will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. That's from Psalm 1. He said, blessed is a man who does not walk. You see, it is the blessedness of a man is decided by where he's walking. I said last time when we were teaching here, I said, listen, the doors of the spirit are controlled by the precepts you obey. He said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And the I and the Father will come and make our abode with him. Is the person you are obeying his principles that you have opened doors to? If you use the principles of the villagers to run your business, there's a spirit that didn't allow anybody there to progress. There's always a reason. If you go to any place where people are not making progress, sit down, analyze, you will see where the oppression of that spirit of backwardness. And they tend to carry it everywhere they go. Some of them, you see, they are on the roadside. Maybe he's a organizer. His brother is a shoe repairman down the road. And you say, why come nobody is making progress from here? The fact, go and watch them closely. They cheat. And they think they are smart. They have principles that you know, by which they operate in life. And those are the things that God must purge you of before he releases you into your own prosperity. No, he can never allow you to carry those things into abundance. It's not possible. That's why you have to keep hearing the word, because the word must prune those things off for you to be able to receive God's blessing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let's say it again. He said, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, if he stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. So therefore, let us shout it again. He said, I will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Says, my soul. You are speaking to yourself. My soul. Listen to me. You will not walk in the counsel of the wicked. You will not stand in the path of sinners. You will not sit in the seat of scoffers. You will not keep company with those who mock the Lord. Your best friends will not be unbelievers. Say, Saul, hear me. Your best friends will not be unbelievers. No matter how rich they are, they will not be your best friends. They will not be your friends. Even though they may appear rich, if they are not rich in faith. Say, I will not walk in the counsel of sinners. I will not stand in the path of sinners. I will not sit in the seat of scoffers. Say, my soul, hear me. Your delight will be in the law of the Lord. Your delight will be in the law of the Lord. Your delight will be in the law of the Lord. The precepts of God are the things you will long for. The knowledge of God will be pleasant to your soul. Listen, he said, the knowledge of God will be pleasant to you, my soul. The knowledge of God will be the sweetness of your soul. In the name of Jesus Christ, I speak to myself. I will delight in the law of the Lord. In his law, I will meditate day and night. Now listen to this. You know, like I said to you, difficult times, they come in life. A time will come where you have to, like, oh God, Caleb. No wonder God was so impressed by Caleb and by Joshua. Because out of 12, two stood out. Different. Then the whole of the congregation of Israel, apart from maybe somebody like Moses, I don't know where Aaron and Miriam were in the picture. But hundreds of thousands of people joined with the 10 people. Yet, Joshua and Caleb maintained their faith in the word of God. No wonder God was impressed. Therefore, say, my soul,
hear me.
In the time of trial,
you will stand with the Lord.
When all the elders gather against me, I will stand with the Lord. When all my seniors in the village gathered against me, I will stand with the Lord. If my parents stand against me, I will still stand with the Lord. If the whole community stand against me, I will still stand with the Lord. I will trust in the word of God at all times. I will not trust in the arm of flesh. You know, God said, woe to those who run to Egypt for help. A time will come, people will tell you, run to Egypt for help. You will speak to your soul, say, in the time of adversity, you will not go to Egypt. Say, in the time of adversity,
my soul,
you will not go to Egypt. You will stand with the Lord. In the time of trial,
you will not eat the forbidden fruit.
You will not follow the way of the world.
Even if it appears like you will suffer,
yet you will obey the word of God. You know, I was telling you the other time, I said, listen, one of the precepts If a Christian wants to do politics, one of the first things he will know is that God didn't say go and win. God said go and contest. It's God that gives winning. Do you get my point? It's only people of Satan that think you must win or win. Look, according to the political, you know, agenda, order of today's age, which God is using to put people in offices, God never tells a Christian, go and win by force. If it is form, take form. If they rig you out, don't be angry. If the proper thing to do after being rigged out, obviously, is to go to court, go. Do you get my point? If you lose, relax. Because God, he said, Paul was talking, he said, I planted. Apollos watered. God gave the increase. One brother came to me once, I've told the story before. He said he had a vision, and the Lord told him he was going to be a counselor. Not a long story, in Abakaliki here. He came in this office, we sat down, we're talking. Said the Lord spoke to him, said you're going to be a counselor. And he told him in a vision what to do. How to make sure that he wasn't rigged out. And that day, his operation was he was on a bike from going from one place to the other, you know, in the district, making sure he was collecting, I think, copies of the, there's a way he said he did it, election results. Make a long story short, all right? He won because he operated what God said. He was such a popular man, the next election he wanted to be local government chairman. He slept again. The Lord told him, no matter what you do, you will not be chairman. The Lord said to him simply, you are not going to be. So, of course, he took the form. The Lord knew he would take the form. He went about it. He did everything. They told him that let's go to a shrine to go and do, you know. And he said, no, I'm a Christian. I know they go that kind of place. Then they came back this day and said, he said, since you're a Christian, you won't go to shrine. We have found a pastor. Oh God, we have found a pastor who can pray. The pastor, as soon as I read the pastor said, where's the arrears? Arrears of what, sir? The tithes in the last 2 or 3 years, you're a counselor. Before I pray, you first bring the arrears. Ah, brother, I'll not get money again. Ah, the Lord will not release his power until he gets his arrears. I heard a gist, Daniel Mokachi. They collected $120,000 from Daniel Mokachi, arrears of tithes, to heal his leg. I'm not joking about it. When I heard that recently, I said, Yeg believe. And he believed it. He must have sinned. For to believe that you committed iniquity. This my friend said, when he was there that day, I was laughing, he too was laughing. He didn't have money. The only car he had after years of being counselor, he gave it to one man to borrow money so he would pay the pastor. He paid the pastor and that one prayed. Look, let me tell you, when you know that God wants to start judgment, it is not in PDP, it's in church. In the name of Jesus, I release victory. Holy Ghost fire. God just look. Lord said, listen, I warned you. You ain't going to be no government. No. You know the election he won? Completely. He was very popular. People voted for him massively. Oh, God said, just watch me. You will know who is God here. Last minute, political maneuvering. Return of the governor, second tenure. You know the way, you know this Nwodo versus Chime, you know this kind of thing last time. The bargaining seat was that seat as chairman. For the governor to return, one of the people supporting him said, I want that seat for one of my boys. So the governor said, it's not a seat. He told the boy, sorry, I know you won the election, but we shall not return that election like that. Somebody else is going to have the seat. We'll submit him. The guy was looking like this. The whole community gathered, threatened riot. He didn't talk again like David because the Lord had told him, do what you want. He will not be the next chairman. I told you this story to let you know that these things are real. Yeah. So, when he came, of course, he don't relax. That time he was following his life, he was telling his story and laughing. Laughing. As believers, we know that what we are supposed to do is plant, water, and wait for God to give what? Increase. These are among the things. We know there's not a do or die affair. we follow the word of God at all times. And we know that God will raise us up in due season. It's one of the things as believers. So I'm just dropping that one. Don't ever be afraid. But what you do is, at all times, you must hold on to the word of God. They will teach you precepts. The word of God will come forth and teach you precepts you will use when you step into office. Before then, you learn them and then you hold on to them throughout. If you lose, it is not because you were not smart. It is because God didn't give you that increase. Are you getting my point? I watched American presidential election, the last one. Barack Obama won just because some people didn't drop out of the race early. There are people that will drop out of that race early, all right? And then Hillary Clinton will have won. So God kept them there. They and Hillary were dividing some votes. As soon as they finished dividing it, Obama was in the lead. He showed to the other guy, said, "You see, you can't go far again." So he dropped. If he dropped earlier, Hillary would have won. Because the votes they cast before, they can't go and recast them. Ross Perot only succeeded in ensuring that George Bush did not win his second term. He couldn't win, but he broke George Bush's votes into pieces and allowed Bill Clinton to enter. God knows how he machinates his things, so don't just worry about him at all. But what do? We hold on to the word of God at all times. Therefore, you say to your soul once again, you will never depart from the Lord.
My soul, you will never depart from the Lord.
For results' sake, you will never depart from the Lord. That is, people will say, do it like this, how it works. Listen, results will never make you depart from the truth that God has spoken to you. Tell your soul that. If they say this is how they do it and they win, they get it. This is how it's done. Once it looks like it is not the way of God, reject it. Say, my soul, you will reject the counsel of the ungodly.
My soul, you will reject the counsel of the ungodly.
You will walk in the way of the Lord. Say
you will follow the Lord fully.
You will follow the precepts of God.
You will follow the commandments of God.
You follow the testimonies for your life. And the promises of God, they will be yours in manifestation. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say to yourself, I will see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. My soul will yet rejoice. Say, I will yet rejoice in the power of God. In this my life, I will see God manifest. In this life of mine, God will show up for me. God will show up for me. He will deliver me out of the furnace of affliction. He will deliver me in the lion's den. When many men rise up against me, God will strengthen me against them. He will be my defense. He will be my strong tower. He will be a strong warrior beside me. He will shatter all the enemies that rise up against me. Because my heart is completely His. You know what God is saying? The eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth. You know what it means? He's looking for somebody for whose sake he can show his power. He said that he might show himself strong on behalf of the person whose heart is perfect towards him. As believers, what we are going for is a perfect heart. And God will show himself strong on our behalf. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want us to do it again. Say, I will see the power of God in my life.
I will see the power of God.
Listen, you will not just tell the story of somebody else. Are you getting what I'm saying? God said, follow me fully and I will show you my power in this life. Listen, in a short while, you will enter into a place, you will wonder how you got there. You will know that only God could have done this. He said, they will say of the Lord, only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. You will have experiences in life that will demonstrate to you, listen to me, saints of God, that only in the Lord are righteousness and strength. A time will come, this may sound trivial, but there are things God will do just to let you know that He did them. A time will come, you will take your wife, your children, you will sit on a plane, all of you sitting in first class, and you are going, you say, well, I'm going for a holiday, I want to go and visit my friends.
It's not about money now. It's not about being materialistic. It's about God letting you know that the whole world is mine. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. When I'm praying, sometimes I say it at home. I tell my wife, I say, listen. Even when I'm telling the Lord, I say, some things I pray about. It's not because I feel like, yes, I need this. I say, no, I just want to. You know what God did for Peter? They harvested fish. And I said, leave the fish, let's go. I don't know whether you get the point. They harvested fish. Plenty, caught plenty of fish. After Peter, Peter was shaking. My Lord and my God, depart from me because I'm a sinner. He said, okay, now, so you've gotten the point. Let's go. As for the fish, you don't know what he did with it. I don't know whether I get what I'm saying. Let me prophesy to you again. You will catch a draught of fish even if you don't need it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That God might demonstrate to you that the power belongs to him.
Amen.
For me, that's it. Look, God, that's what I want you to do for me. That I will boldly declare from my own personal experience that the power belongs to God. David said, look, when he spoke once, I heard that thing twice. That the power belongs to God. You need to know that the power does not belong to connected people. You will experience yet in this your life that the power does not belong to any political godfather. You will experience in this your life that power does not even belong to money. I told you, like, many years ago, I heard M.K. Abiola's talk. Somebody prayed for him. And he said, "Me Agbano is a Yoruba expression. It's a spirit that wastes people's money and their fortune. Say, may it not enter into your money for the good works it was doing." And the man foolishly replied. I felt bad when I heard it. He said, "Let it enter. That it will eat and eat and eat. It will be frustrated. It will go away." When I heard that, I knew the man was in trouble. He had too much faith in money. Yet when his wife died, he shouted, "Shame on money." When his wife died. Because if it was money to treat the woman, they had it. Yes, she died of her affliction. And the man shouted, "Shame on money." Well, I said, why will he utter that kind of statement that let it enter? I said, he doesn't know God. And when God wanted to show that the power belongs to me, he didn't take money from him. He took him from money. He didn't take money from him. He took him from money. The man was so rich that time. Babangida offered him almost ₦1 billion of that time to pay him off for his expenses in contest for the election. About ₦900 million of that time. And the man walked out of the negotiation. That's how the money was then. He had plenty of it. Yet, when Godwin Dabo went to beg Abacha to let him go, Abacha said to Godwin Dabo, "See, tell him I will never release him." Why? He said he has too much money. You don't get what I'm saying? The very thing that he trusted in was the reason why he was in jail. He said, "Tell him I will never let him go. That he has too much money, he will destabilize my government." And he never let him go. I say, in life, we must know that who has the power? God. In your life, God will demonstrate to you by manifestation of his goodness, not judgment. Because you have come to follow him fully. By the manifestation of his goodness, he will demonstrate to you that the power belongs to him.
Amen.
And you will see it and you will rejoice.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will get a job you hardly applied for. It closed before your application got in and you did not know anybody. You will get it, even if God tells you come out after 6 months. He said, "I just want you to know that from now on, don't think you don't know people and that's a hindrance." And it will happen to somebody listening to me this evening.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You may be sick. You will get so healed before you even finish praying. So that you will know that the power belongs to God.
Amen.
You think that what you can do is jobs worth 2 million, 3 million, 4 million naira. You will soon get a contract worth 100 million.
Amen.
just so that you will know that the power belongs to God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in the midst of this, you know, he said to Peter, now that you have seen this fish, come, I will make you fishers of men. The spirit of faith will be so strong in you, you will be able to walk away from it and become whatever God wants you to be.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Receive that spirit of faith in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Receive the spirit to follow the Lord fully in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your walk will be pleasing to Him in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The meditation of your heart will be pleasant before Him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your soul will only dwell upon that which is good,
Amen.
Which is lovely,
Amen.
Which is just,
Amen.
Which is of good report.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You will walk in a manner pleasing to God at all times.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Share your brethren. The word works. God bless you.